presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made strong. Of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made strong in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made strong in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made strong
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Ascend Church. I hope you guys have had a great week. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. We sacrifice so much for our children. And thank you for coming out and being in the Lord's house this morning. Hope you enjoy the service and sing along with us. Put your hands together. Here in your light we find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrendered to your will, your glory on display. Your glory on display. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. You will be praised. Your love, a force of grace, consuming every space,
it's uncontainable. We're coming like a flood. Our hearts are filling up. All things are possible. Do you believe it? All things are possible. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. You will be praised.
Come on, everybody, sing this part out. Here we go.
Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're searching for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. You will be praised. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're searching for. We lift the name of Jesus.
Just put your hands together and pray with me and sing Graves to Gardens with me. The world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise, treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and you put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied. Hearing your love. Cause there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. No, I'm not afraid. Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountains is the God of the valley. No, there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. sing it out, church.
Lord, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn moaning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn moaning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one.
Amen. I love this song. Not afraid. We can't be afraid. Can't be afraid when you walk with Jesus. There's no way.
This confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God, the still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond barren place, beyond the ocean waves. When I go through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. Keep the promises you make, and there isn't one that is delayed. So I will not lose heart, and I will lift my arms and start to sing into the night. My praise will call the sun to rise. He's before me and behind me. He's always beside me. Oh, yes, He is. Oh, yes, You are. You are always beside me, Jesus. Where You won't find me. No, I'm not afraid. No, I'm not afraid. Oh, are you? I'm not afraid. No way. Because when I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way. So I am not afraid. Before me, behind me.
Lord, that we do not have to fear no matter what may come against us. So many times in Your word, Lord, You have told us, do not fear, do not be afraid, take courage, I am with you. We thank You, Lord, that You are with us. We thank You that You go before us, that You go behind us, that You walk beside us, that, Lord, You protect us. We thank You that You are so good to us. Can you say amen, somebody? Anyone agree with that? Why don't you put your hands together, give the Lord a big clap of praise today, and let Him know that we worship You, Lord. We praise You. We magnify You because You are worthy. You know, I read in the Psalm where David said, seven times a day, I will shout praises to God. Seven times a day. Now, I don't want to say that I've been doing it seven times a day, but since I read that scripture recently, I've really been trying every day to just say, Lord, I praise You. When I get up in the morning, Father, I want to praise You today. Jesus, I want to worship You today. Just throughout the day, just at any moment, Lord, I just want to praise You. Let me tell you right now, God delights in it. When you keep the Lord on your mind and you have His praise in your lips, let me tell you, God takes pleasure in the praises of His people. Amen. I want to pray right now before we sing our last song. Our last song is called The Waymaker. Thank God that our God makes a way even when we don't see a way. Even when we can't, when we don't see a way, He's got a way, isn't that right? I love that song. It says He turns, what is that, grapes to garden? He turns the sea into a highway. No other God, no one like Him. So we want to pray. And I was thinking about this. The Lord reminded me of Ephesians chapter 6. It says this. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against wicked spirits in heavenly places. And God has given us armor in order to overcome in this spiritual warfare. The Bible says we're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling with principalities and powers. And I thought about it, even with what's going on right now in the world, with this whole, you know, with this whole virus. Listen, we mustn't get caught up in wrestling with people. We must understand there are spiritual forces that are at work behind this. And thank God, God has given us authority in prayer. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you permit and whatever you loose on the earth will be permitted and loosed by heaven. Jesus said, I give you authority that you can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have power in prayer. Amen. And I really believe it's important for the church around the world to rise up and to take authority and to speak against these principalities that are behind this whole virus and everything that's going on and the fear, and take authority in the name of Jesus. We're going to do that today. Will you agree with me today? Because you know, the Bible says that if any two on earth will agree about whatever they ask, it will be done by our Father in heaven. Because there's power in agreement. When we come together and we join our faith together and we pray in unity, the Bible says one person will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. There is multiplied power as we join together our faith and we pray together. And one of the reasons why we are here today is because we are a body. We are the body of Christ. Say, I am the body of Christ. Every one of us is part of the body of Christ. If you've received Jesus into your life and into your heart, then you are part of the body of Christ. And we gather at church because we are the body of Christ, gathering together, praying together, standing together, encouraging one another. Amen. In fact, I don't know why I'm getting off on this, but I was reading the other day so many scriptures where Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples because of the love that you have for. I'll give you a challenge. If you go back and read all the scriptures in the Bible where it tells you to love one another, and you will find that the majority of those scriptures talk about loving your brother and your sister. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't love people who are not Christians. Yes, we should. But Jesus put the emphasis. He said the world will know that you are my disciples because of the love that you have for one another. It is the love that we have for one another. It is loving the other members in the body of Christ. That's what demonstrates to the world that we are Christians. Amen. Let me tell you, you should love your brothers and sisters more than anybody else. That's what Jesus put the emphasis on, loving one another. So I want you to join with me today. We're going to pray. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the power that is in prayer. We thank you that you are the God, the only God who hears and who answers prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you are not only the God of the mountains, but you are the God of the valleys. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us in the good times and in the bad. We thank you that we do not have to fear no matter what we face, because you are with us, you protect us, you deliver us, you're our healer, you're our provider, you are everything we need, you're our wisdom, Lord, you're everything we need. And you said that we never have to worry. We never have to worry no matter what. We thank you, Lord, that we do not have to worry, because as you provide for the birds, how much more will you not take care of us? We thank you, Father, for the power in prayer. And right now we join our voice together. We join our faith together. And we take authority over every principality and power, over every wicked spirit in the heavenly places. Devil, we bind you. We bind every demon. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you. We take authority over this virus that's sweeping across the world. We take authority over fear. We take authority over lack. And Father, we pray that you would bring healing, that you would bring provision, that faith would rise in people's hearts. We pray, Father, that you would deliver people. We pray, Lord, and everyone who's been affected by this pandemic, we thank you for bringing healing, for bringing restoration, that you're the God of comfort. Oh, we pray for all those first responders. We thank you for strengthening them. We pray for our president, that you would give him wisdom, that you would guide him. And Father, we just pray right now that your will would be done in the earth. We pray that there would be a revival that would spread around the world. We pray, Lord, that you would take what the enemy meant for our harm and you would turn it around and you'd cause it to be for our good, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you. We're coming out of this better than ever before, Lord, because when we walk through the fire, we will not be burned. When we walk through the rivers, we will not be drowned, because, Lord, you make a way even when we don't see a way. You're the way maker, and we give you praise today. I pray for everybody who's watching this today or online, wherever you may be watching this, whatever your need may be. Right now, I pray for you. I lift up my brother, my sister, every person watching, Lord, you know what their need may be. I ask you to provide for them. I ask you to meet every need. Father, I pray, let your healing power flow through their body. I pray that you would heal them. I pray that you would restore them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for guiding them. I thank you for strengthening every person watching right now, strengthening them, Lord, that you are with them in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen, somebody. I want us to sing our final song. It's called The Waymaker. How many of you are trusting God to make a way in some area of your life? You're trusting God to make a way. Wave your hand at me. Well, listen. You need to sing this song to the Lord as your declaration to Him. Lord, I'm looking to you. You're the way maker. I worship you. I thank you that you make a way where I don't see a way. Amen, church. Come on, if you're at home, watching at home, sing with us today. Worship with us today.
You are here, moving in our. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. Come on, sing it with me. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. Worship you. Sing it out. You are here.
I worship you. I worship you.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Come on, sing it, church.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. Oh yeah, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God,
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Come on, sing this part. Here we go.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Sing it! You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
That is who he is, Waymaker.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even when we don't see it, he's working. You know, that'll put you to sleep peacefully at night when you have the confidence that when even though you don't see it, your God is working. You know, there's so many words that are contained right there that if you sing them from the heart, they cause faith to rise. It causes a supernatural peace to descend upon you, because when you know that he is the way maker, he's the miracle worker, then no matter what it is you're facing today, there is a way. He has a way. You don't have to see it. That's what walking by faith is, right? And I just want to remind you that he always keeps his promises. Amen. God bless you. Welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Won't you just turn and say hi to somebody? And you may be seated. Each and everyone that is here today, so glad you joined us in person to worship with us, and welcome to those that are watching online. We have people watching on our YouTube channel, on Facebook, Facebook Live, watching on our app and on our website, and we welcome you. We have far more people that watch online than we have in the service, but nothing beats being in the service, let me tell you something. So if you can get here, But go ahead right now. I want to ask you if you want to share one of those means of this Facebook Live. Just share it right now. It's an outreach. It reaches people that are, as they're in their homes. Maybe this is just what the Lord wants to speak to them today, and you just give them that opportunity. So thank you for doing that. But we welcome to church. So glad that you're with us. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. I know we have a number of new visitors today, as we do each week. And we want to honor you. We want to thank you for joining us today. I don't know, maybe you came because you were invited by someone, or you saw the sign outside, or however you came here. I don't believe it's by accident. You know, the Bible says the Lord directs our footsteps, and He can get you where He needs you to be. So welcome to church today. And for those who are visiting for the first time, our ushers would like to just hand you a gift pack, a visitor pack. Thank you. Nick, would you do that for us, please, my brother? Thank you. We have a visitor pack for you. So those of you who are here for the first time, won't you just wave your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. Welcome. Come on, family. Come on. Thank you. So good to see you. Good to see some of our faces back that we haven't seen for a while. I hope somebody gets on TV this week and just says, go back to church. Somebody tell somebody, go back to church. Amen. But we're glad that you're here. I'm just briefly, the four main purposes of our church. Want to help you to know God, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference with your life. That's really the key, the bottom line of what we're all about here. And I want to just wish all the moms happy Mother's Day today. Come on, won't you stand up if you're a mom in this place? Come on, moms. No one wants to be the first one. Stand up, come on. Make it sound like you mean it, right? Beautiful. Just stay standing for a minute. Come on. We're going to look at you. We're going to look at you. I just want to welcome happy Mother's Day to all our moms that are at home, those that are watching. You know, since 1914, this day has been set aside. The second Sunday of every May has been set aside to honor our moms. And that's what we want to do today. I hope it's more than one day a year, but specifically on this day, we honor all those who are moms. And if your mom is still alive, call your mom today. Say what's on your heart. Say meaningful things. Make sure you don't wait and wish you had have said them before they pass away. Isn't that true? And, my favorite card that I got from my son, I've still got it. He was about 5. And he had written, they said, what do you like about your mom? He said, I love my mom because she buys me nice things and because of her good looks. I was like, I'll keep that one. That one I'm keeping. So I just want to say this. A mother's role is many things. It could be she wears all kinds of hats. She's a nurse. She's a counselor. She's a spiritual advisor, an educator, a nutritionist, right? Not just you, Anna, or all the moms. An accountant, transportation center, a maid, a peacemaker, an entertainer, and the list goes on. But I just want to remind you, the number one thing that I think defines a mother is that she is an influencer. You know, Abraham Lincoln said this. What did Abraham Lincoln say? Thank you. Somebody. He said, nobody is... I'll quote it to you. Nobody is poor who has had a praying mother. And he said, I owe everything I've ever done and everything I will do to my angel mother. So let me tell you, mothers, that you have influence. Sometimes you look at little terrors in your house and you think that nothing's going, it's going in this ear and going out that, but you are influencing. Grandmothers, you are influencing. There is a scripture where Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said this. He said, I'm filled with joy as I think of your strong faith, Timothy, which was passed down to you through your family line. It began with your grandmother, Lewis, who passed it on to your dear mother, Eunice. And it's clear that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example. That is influence. So I want us to just stretch our hands towards these moms, and I reach my hand out to those who are watching online, and we're going to pray over each one. Father, I thank you for each woman, every mother, every grandmother that stands in this place and that is represented and watching. I pray the blessing of God rest upon her. I pray, Father, that you would give her wisdom and direction, that you would fill her heart with peace and comfort, that you would give her words of wisdom, give her guidance and direction, Father. Give her godly advice to give her children and her grandchildren. And Father, I ask that today you would let her feel the honor that she has, her place in this world. They say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And Father, we pray for these women right now, that your blessing be upon them and your direction in the name of Jesus. Amen. We love you, moms. We love you, moms. Wonderful.
Does that mean come hither?
That means, what are you waiting for?
Well, I like that scripture you read about to Timothy, about the faith that was in him, came through his grandmother. And I just want to honor my mom. I'm so glad to have my mom here. My mother, there you are.
Stand up for us. What a blessing to us.
Not only did my mom give me physical life, but my mom actually took me to church when I was 16 to Pastor Theo and Beverly Womerance's church in Johannesburg, South Africa. She kind of had to coerce me a little bit to get there. Maybe some folks are here today, you were coerced a little bit. But I'm so glad she did, because that day I received Jesus in my life and my whole life changed. And I wouldn't be where I am or doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for my mom. So why don't you give her a big round of applause today.
And to me, she's been a second mom from when I was a teenager, and my only mom since my mom passed away, and always a blessing. So we honor you today.
And my mom is getting married. Woo-hoo. Her and Ron are getting married.
How many days?
On May the 22nd, correct? So that's like 2 weeks' time. Today's the 10th. It's just about 2 weeks' time.
Wonderful.
My dad passed in 2013, and my mother and my mom and dad were married when she was 17. And so they were married a long time. I don't know how long. It wasn't 51 years. And so I'm so glad that the Lord has brought Ron into my mom's life. And so I'll be doing the wedding on May the 22nd coming up, just in a few days from
getting
now.
Getting yourself a new stepdad.
Congratulations, yes. Are you doing offering at the end or the beginning? Alrighty. Praise God. Well, tell someone, I'm so glad you're here today. I'm so glad to be in the house of God with the people of God. How about you? Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of God. Aren't you? And on this Mother's Day. So are you ready for God's word today? Because I really believe I have a word from the Lord that is going to be a blessing to you. And if you I want to encourage you to share this on, if you're on Facebook, share the service, our live stream on Facebook. You never know, like my wife said, there's someone that really needs to hear. I'm going to be speaking about the Valley of Blessing today. So share that on your social media. But let's just get right into God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you are present here with us. We thank you that you are so good to us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We know that every good thing in our life comes from you. You're the giver of every good gift. Father, today as I stand to teach and to declare your word, I just thank you for anointing me and helping me, Lord, and speaking through me and causing our faith to rise up big and removing all fear and all unbelief. And Lord, I give you all the thanks and praise for everything that will be said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout out amen. Well, this morning, I want to speak to you today about the Valley of Blessing. Today we sang one of my favorite songs called Graves to Gardens, and it says, the God of the mountains is the God of the valley. You know, we all go through valleys. Valleys are inevitable. They're part of life. But valleys are also purposeful. And we all go through difficult things in life, things we don't always understand. And when we're in the valley, you know, it's easy to get discouraged and think it's never going to get better. But the Bible talks about the valley of blessing. And that seems like a contradiction. Because we think, you know, if I'm in the valley, you know, I can't be blessed. If I'm in the valley, then I'm discouraged. I'm dealing with this health issue, or I'm facing this financial difficulty. We often see the valley as being negative. And we think, well, as soon as I get out of this situation, well, I tell you what, I'm going to be so happy. Then I'm going to have a better attitude. Then I'm going to have peace. Then I'm going to have joy as soon as I get out of this. But you know what I've learned? I've learned God doesn't always remove the valley, but God can bless you right in the valley. In fact, there are blessings in the valley that you don't find on the mountaintops. And one definition of a valley, according to the dictionary, is a valley is a low point, or a low condition. You know, a valley is, you feel like you're at a low point. You feel like, you know, you're going through a real difficult situation. But here's what David said in Psalm 23, in verse number 4. He said, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me and they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." So David said, listen, he didn't say God would remove all of your enemies, eliminate everything that's bothering you, and then prepare a feast. No, he said right in the middle of the trouble, right in the middle of the adversity, that's where God prepares the feast. God doesn't have to deliver you from it. God can deliver you in it. Last week I told you about when Isaac was in a severe famine. There was a famine in the land. There was no water. Nobody's crops could grow. And yet the Bible says in Genesis 26, verse 12, that Isaac sowed in that land and he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And it says that he began to prosper and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Now this is that God didn't have to deliver Isaac from the famine. God blessed him right in the midst of the famine. And you may be in a valley right now. Maybe you're fighting a battle in your health or in your finances, maybe a legal situation. But let me tell you, God knows how to turn that battlefield into your blessing field. Don't complain about the valley, because let me tell you, there's a blessing in that valley. It was not sent to harm you. It was sent to increase you. And you need to get ready, because it's not going to stay a valley of defeat. It's about to turn into a valley of victory. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, when what you think may be a valley of disappointment or loss or heartache, let me tell you, God is going to turn it into a valley of new beginnings, a valley of blessing, a valley of greater fulfillment in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're in a valley of sickness and you could easily get discouraged and just settle right where you are. But I want you to take heart, because it is only temporary. It's going to turn into a valley of health. It's going to turn into a valley of greater strength. Amen. God promised He would fulfill the number of your days. He promised He would restore your health. So don't be fooled by the valley. Like Isaac, it's about to turn into a valley of breakthroughs, a valley of victory, a valley of abundance, a valley of blessing. This is what happened in the scripture to King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. They were surrounded by three major armies that were closing in on them, come to attack them, come to destroy them, really. And in the natural, they really didn't stand a chance, because they were outnumbered, like 10 to 1. And King Jehoshaphat, he called everybody together to pray and call upon the Lord. And all these people stood before King Jehoshaphat, husbands and wives and little children, and you can imagine how concerned they were, how worried they were. They have these three major armies have joined forces and come to destroy the tribe of Judah, one of the tribes of Israel. I mean, their lives were literally on the line. You know, often we read these Bible stories, and I think we just read them like, you know, we're reading some kind of a fairy tale. Then when we face some kind of an epidemic, well, then we think, well, listen, those stories are put there so you can know what God can do and that He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because King Jehoshaphat prayed in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says he prayed, Lord, we are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us, and we do not know what to do. They didn't know what to do. He said, but we're looking to you for help. That's the best thing you can do when you don't know what to do. Keep looking to God for help. When you're in the valley, let me tell you, it's okay to be honest with God. It's okay to say, Lord, I don't see how I could ever get out of this. I don't see how I could ever get well. I don't see how my family could ever be restored. That's okay, but don't stop there. Say, God, I don't see a way, but my eyes on you. I know you have a way. I know you're the way maker. I know nothing is too difficult for you. Amen? Because after King Jehoshaphat finished praying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a young man by the name of Jahaziel, and he began to prophesy, and this is what he said in verse 15. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the... You're supposed to stay right there. The valley. The enemy came in the valley. The battle took place in the valley. They were in the valley. It says that they are going to come up through the valley that opens in the wilderness of Jeruel. It says, but you will not even need to fight. Just take your position, and then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Because He's with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out against Him tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Now, notice that they face the enemy in the valley. You may be facing some big enemies today. And I believe God's saying the same thing to us that He said to them. Quit letting it upset you. Quit losing your peace about it. It is not your battle. This is the Lord's battle. God promised He'd fight your battles for you. In verse 21, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Notice they were not complaining in the valley. They weren't saying, oh, we're never going to get out of this. This problem is too big. Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to us? No, they were singing praises to God. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. They were talking about the greatness of their God. They were speaking faith into their future. Because let me tell you, what you say in the valley is extremely important. If you go around saying things like, oh, Steve, I don't think I'm ever going to get out of this. I got all these problems. I always seem to get bad breaks. Nothing seems to ever go my way. Let me tell you, you'll get stuck in the valley if you talk like that. But when you start talking about how great your God is and how good your God is and how no weapon formed against you can ever prosper and how this problem didn't come to stay, it came to pass, and how greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, and how I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and if God is for me, then who can be against me? And I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me, and God is fighting my battles. Let me tell you, when you talk faith like that, that's when God will show up and make things happen you could never make happen by yourself. Amen. And let me tell you, when these enemy armies heard all the shouting, all the singing, all the commotion, the Bible says they became confused. And they started fighting one another. The enemy that came to attack Judah, when Jehoshaphat put those singers out front and they went into battle singing, praise the Lord, His mercy endures forever. All of a sudden, the Bible says in verse 20, to the moment that they began to sing, the moment that they began to praise. Let me tell you, the moment you begin to give God praise, things begin to happen. The moment you begin to give God praise, things begin to happen. It says, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to begin fighting among themselves, and they destroyed each other. It says, the Ammonites and the Moabites turned against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. And then when they finished that job, they turned against each other. It says, so when the army of Judah arrived at the watchtower that looks out over the wilderness, as far as they could see, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. The enemy destroyed themselves. The people of Judah didn't have to lift one finger in their defense, just like God promised. Stand still, and I'm going to fight your battles. What happened? Let's read on. It says in verse 25, King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment and clothing and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder, it took them 3 days to collect all the plunder. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. And it is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Let me tell you, it says, all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. Let me tell you, family, isn't it interesting that the place where they faced their greatest battle and their most powerful enemies, God didn't call it the Valley of Opposition, the Valley of Struggle, the Valley of Heartache? No, God called it the Valley of Blessing. Because family, when you face tough times, you've got to have this new perspective that this is not a valley of defeat. That is not a valley it's a valley of victory. It's a valley of blessing that God can bless. He can turn a valley of defeat into a valley of blessing. Amen. Let me tell you, that valley is not to hold you back. It's a valley of promotion. It's a valley of restoration. It's a valley of healing. Maybe like the people of Judah, what you're facing looks insurmountable. The medical report does not look good. Or maybe you lost your biggest client, or your child won't do what's right. Let me tell you, those enemies may look big, but one touch of God's favor can turn that whole situation around. Do not get discouraged. God has not brought you this far to leave you. Every voice may be telling you this is a valley of defeat. You're never going to get out of it. You're never going to accomplish your dreams. Let me tell you, the good news is you don't have to get out of the valley. God can bless you right in that valley. What the enemy meant for your harm, let me tell you, the enemy doesn't have the final say. God has the final say. And you know what God says? He says, stand still. I'm going to show you my goodness. Stay in faith, and I'm going to turn your battlefield into your blessing field. What should have defeated you is going to increase you. You're going to come out of this better than ever before. I love the fact it took them 3 days to gather up all the spoil. I mean, it would have been a great victory if God just defeated their enemies. Don't you agree? And just spared their lives. But God never brings you out the same way. Let me tell you, He makes the enemy pay for bringing that trouble into your life. Sometimes we're just hoping to make it through the valley. God, just help me to make it through this season, this tough season at work. But God says, no, I'm going to turn that valley into a valley of abundance. Amen. I don't know how many football fans, any football fans out here? Raise your hand if you're a football fan. Well, football fans, you probably know who Tony Dungy is. You know Tony Dungy? One of the greatest coaches of our day, right? And he played in the NFL for many years. And in 1996, he got his first job as head coach of Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he was so excited about it. It was a dream come true. He didn't know anybody in that organization, and he didn't have any special inside contacts. But out of a number of several qualified candidates, they chose Tony. And he knew it was the hand of God that opened that door. And for 6 years, everything was good. But, they were making progress. They were winning more games. But then one day, out of the blue, unexpectedly, he was fired. And he thought, God, I know you gave me this job. I know this was your plan. I don't understand why this has happened to me now. He was in the valley. Didn't make any sense. But he didn't start complaining. He didn't get bitter. He understood this principle that there is a blessing in every valley. David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. We all like that part. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. But the next verse says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He was saying the same God who leads you to the green pastures and the still waters sometimes will lead you to the valley. And you may not understand it, but if it wasn't gonna work for your good, God would never have allowed it. The Bible says in Proverbs 37, verse 23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. Say, thank you, Lord, that you are directing my steps. See, when you face tough times, you've got to remind yourself that God would not be leading you into that valley if that's all there was. If it was just loss, defeat, too bad, you done. No, there's a purpose for that valley. It's not to hinder you, but to help you. Not to hold you back, but to push you forward. Not to weaken you, but to make you stronger. But you see, the key is our attitude in the valley. If Jehoshaphat would have thought, you know, if Jehoshaphat would have said, Lord, you know, I've served you all these years. I've done my best. And now look, these enemies are going to come and wipe us out. This isn't right. This isn't fair. Why me? Woe is me. If he'd just been negative and discouraged and bitter, he would have never seen this valley of blessing. He may have been captured. He may have even been killed. Let me tell you, when you encounter a valley, sometimes it's not because you've done anything wrong. Sometimes it's because you've done something right. God's ready to promote you. But the way he's going to do it is taking you through the valley of blessing. We think, God, if you're going to bless me, don't take me down, take me up. If you want to promote me, don't let me lose my job. If you're going to promote me, don't let me lose my job. But let me tell you, God's ways are not always our ways. God's ways are much bigger. His plan is much better than our plan. And what I'm saying is, don't fight your valleys. Stay encouraged. Stay in faith. Don't worry. Don't be afraid in spite of every closed door, every bad break, everything that didn't work out. Realize the valley was not a surprise to God. It's an opportunity for you to go to a higher level. God's directing your steps when you're on the mountaintops. And even when you're in the valley, you're going to believe God is directing my steps. I'm not saying to accept defeat. I'm not saying to settle for mediocrity as being God's plan. I'm saying when you go through a valley, and we all do, when a door closes or you get a bad medical report or you got a financial loss or you suffer a setback, don't get bitter. Don't live with a chip on your shoulder. Start expecting new doors to open, new opportunities, new friendships, new blessings. God wouldn't have led you down there if it wasn't going to work for your good. There's a blessing in that valley. And of course, Coach Dungy, he was disappointed that he lost his job. But he didn't sit around talking about how bad life had treated him. He started thanking God that new doors were going to open. He knew the same God that opened the door in Tampa Bay had now closed that door. The same God that had directed his steps and given him favor to get that job had now directed his steps away from what he thought was his dream job. He was in the valley, but not long after that, he got a phone call from the Indianapolis Colts football team, and they were looking for a new head coach, and they asked if he'd be interested. They had a quarterback. His name is Peyton Manning, and so Tony Dungy took the job. He went on to have amazing success as head coach for the Colts, and they won the Super Bowl. Does anyone know what year they won the Super Bowl? Me neither. I know they won the Super Bowl. Here you go. And they had many other winning seasons. Here's my point. God turned that valley into a valley of victory. If God hadn't closed the door at Tampa Bay, he may never have won the Super Bowl. When we lost our building in foreclosure back in 2016, I tell you what, I felt like I was in the valley of darkness. But I didn't realize there was a great blessing in that valley. The mortgage payment on our previous building we used to have was $26,000 a month. And I kept saying, when we lost that building, I said, God is taking and turning what was meant for our harm and he's turning it to our good. We're going to get a better building in a better location with half the payment. Now, I don't even know why I said that. That just came out of my heart. It just came out of my heart one day. I didn't know, it was the Lord. We're going to get a better building in a better location. It's going to be half the payment. Out of the blue, I get a call. Someone I never met. He saw me on TV, Joe Siegel. And he sold us this building. We didn't need a bank loan. We didn't need a down payment. Our mortgage right now is less than half what it was before. It used to be $26,500. Our mortgage payment is $12,500 right now. Let me tell you, I've learned, don't fight your valleys. They can be leading you to your greatest victories. Because you know what? We ended up with a better building. And how many of you believe it's a better location? We're on the main road, Indian Town, and we got half the payment. Let me tell you, in the valleys, we always gain something. We may not like it, but we gain experience. We gain endurance. Our character, our faith is being developed. With every victory comes a new level of confidence. Something you're going to need later on to go to a higher level in your life. Are you listening to me today? The valleys get you prepared because God knows what's in your future. He knows what you're going to need and he knows when you're going to need it. And everything happens for a reason. A challenge you face today may not make sense today. You may not understand it today. But 15 years from now, because it deposited something in you, you'll be prepared for what you face. God doesn't do anything randomly, family. God is specific. God is detailed. If that valley wasn't necessary, you wouldn't be there. If that setback, that disappointment wasn't going to add something to your life, God would never have allowed it. Don't try and figure out. Some people spend their whole life figuring out why. Why? 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 That'll just confuse you. Just stay in faith. Just keep God first. Just trust God knows what is best. Even when you don't understand it, just trust God is leading you. I tell you what, you can be certain that everything that comes your way in life, somehow, some way, God is going to eventually work it to your advantage if you will keep your eyes on him and keep trusting him. Amen. When David was a teenager, he went out to face Goliath. Do you know where? In the Valley of Elah. David faced Goliath in the Valley of Elah. Goliath was much bigger. He was much stronger. He had more experience. It looked impossible. It looked like David didn't have a chance. But again, we see God turn a valley of defeat into a valley of blessing. Because David took his slingshot and he just knocked that Goliath right out, right in the forehead. Boom, down he went, 10 feet tall. The Bible says David didn't have a sword. So he went over and he took Goliath's sword and he cut off his head. You don't have to watch Goodfellas on TV. Just read your Bible. Let me tell you right now, there's amazing stories in your Bible. He cut off his head and put it on a pike and stood it outside his tent. Now listen, well, I think that's funny if you don't. But anyway, David came out of that valley not only with more experience, not only with more confidence, not only with promotion, not only with respect, not only with blessing, but he came out with the sword of Goliath. Now, fast forward years later, David is on the run from King Saul. King Saul's trying to kill him. Saul's jealous of David. He's trying to kill David. Chased him for 13 years. So David had to leave in such a hurry, he didn't have time to get his sword. He had no way to protect himself. And so he ran to the next city and he went to the temple and he saw some people he knew and he told them he was on assignment and he asked if they had a sword that he could borrow. And so in 1 Samuel 21 verse 9, it says, I only have the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, the priest replied. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Take that if you want it, for there is nothing else here. David said, there's nothing like it. Give it to me. Now, here's the thing. I want you to notice that something that happened in the valley many, many years ago was now instrumental to David reaching the next level of his destiny. If he had not gained that sword in the valley, he would have gotten stuck. Let me tell you, friends, I'm so glad that God has got it all figured out, the beginning and the end. The valley you face today may not be for today. It may be for something that's down the road. If you didn't learn what you needed to learn and gain what you needed to gain, you wouldn't be prepared for the new levels that God has for you. Amen. Don't complain about the valley. There's a blessing in that valley. Something you're going to use later on. Maybe the experience, the confidence, the sword, so to speak, will be waiting for you when you need it. You know, I heard Joel Osteen tell this story. There's a picture of Jill and I with Joel. Not a very good picture, but it's not very clear. It's not a very clear picture. But anyway, a quality picture. But we got an opportunity to meet Pastor Joel Osteen, and what a wonderful man. Whatever you see on TV, that's what he is in private. And so I heard him tell the story how that a few years after he and his wife Victoria were married, they sold their house and they bought a new house. And one day they had a knock on the door, and they opened the door, there was a policeman. And the policeman just smiled and said, "Somebody must not really like you because you've been named in a lawsuit." And what had happened is the people who bought their house were suing because of the plumbing. And not only did they sue Joel and Victoria, but they sued the builder, they sued the architect, they sued the realtor, they sued the plumber, they sued everyone. Joel knew that he wasn't at fault because they didn't build the house and they didn't have any problems with the plumbing when they were staying in the house. But he said for 6 months, while they were in that lawsuit, Joel said he was sick to his stomach. He was so worried about it. He was 26 years old, so we're talking 30 years ago, and it was the worst thing that he could ever imagine happening to him. He had to go and give a deposition in front of lawyers, and he said he was so nervous about going before these lawyers. After he finished the deposition, he was so nauseated, he couldn't even drive home. He had to have someone come pick him up because he was so upset over this whole thing. It seemed like such a waste of time and energy, so much unnecessary stress and heartache. He didn't see how anything productive could ever come out of something like that. But let me tell you, in every valley, you're gaining something. You might not realize it, but there is a purpose. Because 13 years later, and he was then the pastor of Lakewood Church, and they just purchased the Compaq Center, which was the former home of the Houston Rockets basketball team. And a company in Houston, a very large, very influential company, filed a lawsuit trying to keep Lakewood from moving into their building. So now he's not dealing with a small plumbing problem. He's dealing with something critical to his destiny. Joel said when he went to give his deposition in front of a battery of high-powered lawyers, he said, "I wasn't the least bit nervous." He said, "I was so confident. I felt so prepared because he had experience. He'd been there before. He knew what to expect. It's like that sword of David was waiting for him." There was a purpose in that valley 13 years before. He didn't see it at the time. He let it stress him out. He let it steal his joy at the time. Now he realizes that valley was actually a valley of blessing. Because let me tell you, nothing happens by accident. There's no use in getting upset and letting it sour your life. Stand still, keep your peace, and you will see the victory. The Lord will fight your battle. One day you'll look back and you'll see what God was up to. And like Joel, you'll say, "Lord, thank you for that valley. Because if I hadn't learned what I needed to learn, I wouldn't be prepared for what I'm facing right now." Are you with me, church? Or like Coach Dungy, "Lord, thank you for closing that door, because otherwise I wouldn't have won the Super Bowl. I'm so glad they fired me at Tampa Bay, because I went on to win the Super Bowl." Let me tell you, God knows what he's doing. Every valley has a blessing. There is something in that valley to push you forward in your life. Can you say amen? There's something that will be instrumental in you reaching the next level of your destiny. I've learned, I don't complain about my valleys anymore. I have a new perspective now, family. This valley wouldn't be here unless it was preparing me for something greater, unless I was gaining something that I'm going to need later on. I believe there is a blessing in the valley. Have you ever heard the saying, "Trouble is inevitable, but misery is optional"? In other words, we all go through valleys. Trouble is inevitable. We all have things that we don't understand. Trouble's inevitable. But family, it's up to us whether we choose to get stressed out and let it sour the rest of our life. When you go through a valley, when you go through things that you do not understand, listen, we've got to remind yourself, this isn't going to work against me. This is going to work to my advantage. One day you'll look back and you'll realize what you thought was a valley of defeat was really a valley of blessing. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for our good. Say, I know that God causes all things to work together for my good. Now notice, not all things are good, but God can make all things work together for the good of those who love God and those who pray and those who follow His purpose. If you read the previous two verses to verse 28, you'll see it's talking about praying in tongues. I want to read it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says this, the Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. The New King James says He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And the Passion Bible says the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. Let me tell you, when you pray in tongues, that's so you don't know what to pray, but when you pray in tongues, the Bible says the Holy Spirit helps you to pray according to the will of God, to pray God's will, God's destiny for your life. Now, when you spend time praying in tongues and you spend time praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is enabling you to pray the will of God for your life. And that's when verse 28 kicks in, because notice verse 28 starts out with an and. Now, I wasn't the greatest student when I was in school, but one thing I did learn, you don't start a sentence with and. Am I right about that, Abel? It starts with and. You know what and tells me? It tells me verse 28 is connected to verse 27. See, because when you pray in the Spirit, that's when you pray according to the will of God. And that's when you know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things that you can do when you're facing a valley is pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. If you don't know what that is, come talk to me. I'll pray for you. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And or watch my sermon called What to Pray When You Don't Know What to Pray. When you don't know what to pray. Watch that sermon. You need to be able to pray in the Spirit. I thank God to be able to pray in tongues. It's one of the things I certainly do when I face valleys. I'm praying in the Spirit. Because when I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is helping me to pray the perfect will of God. And that's what allows God to cause all things to work together for my good. One of the best things you can do in the valley is pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. And everybody say amen. In 1 Kings chapter 20, are you getting something out of this today? In 1 Kings chapter 20, the Israelites had just defeated the Syrian army of led by King Ben-Hadad, and they defeated them on top of this mountain. And so his officers told King Ben-Hadad that the Israelites' gods were only the gods of the hills, but if they fought them in the valleys, they would certainly defeat them. And in fact, one translation says, if we fight them in the low places, we'll definitely defeat them. The next spring, King Ben-Hadad and the Syrian army attacked the Israelites, but this time they attacked them in the valley. So God sends a prophet to go tell the king of Israel. In 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 28, he says to the prophet says to the king of Israel, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hills, but He is not the God of the valleys. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, I'm not just the God of the mountains, I'm the God of the valley as well. You see, when we're on the mountain, when we're getting good breaks, when we're seeing favor, everything seems to be going our way. We know, oh man, the Lord is with me. I know. But sometimes we're in the valley. Then we're like, oh God, where are you? Why did this happen to me? Am I ever going to get out of this trouble? This isn't fair. You need to be encouraged, because He's not just the God of the mountains and the high places. He's the God of the valleys and the low places. David said in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. The New International Version says he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And the New Living Translation says he's always ready to help in times of trouble. And the Passion Bible says you are a proven help in trouble, more than enough and always available whenever I need you. Let me tell you, God is more than enough and he's always available whenever you need him. He's the God of the mountain. He's the God of the valley. No matter where you are, he can work for you. He can deliver you. He can bring you victories. Can you say amen? When you're in the valley, God's not far away. He's right there with you. He's an ever-present help. He's our refuge. In Psalm 84, verse 6, it says, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of springs where pools of blessing and refreshment collect after the rains. When they go through the valley of weeping, it'll become a place of blessing. The Passion Bible says, even when their path winds through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others find only pain. He gives them a brook of blessing filled from the rain of the outpouring. Let me tell you, you can go through a valley where everybody else is just finding pain and you finding blessing. Why? Because you've got the right attitude, because you've got your eyes on the Lord, because you're holding on to your peace, because you're refusing to fear, because you're refusing to worry. Amen? Let me tell you, on the way to your destiny, there's going to be some valleys. You're probably going to shed some tears. You're going to have some things you don't understand, but God doesn't waste anything. This is saying to us that God collects every tear you've shed, and he uses those same tears to refresh you. They will become pools of blessing. When David was 37 years old, he was about to step into the fullness of his destiny. He just received his third and final anointing. When David was a teenager, he was first anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king. Then, 7 years before that, like at the age of 30, he was anointed to be king over Judah. Now he's anointed the third time as king over all of Israel. And in 2 Samuel 5:17, it says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him, but David was told they were coming. So he went into the stronghold. The Philistines arrived and they spread out across the valley of Rephaim. Now notice once again, David's in the valley. He's facing the Philistines in the valley. The valley of Rephaim, I'm probably not saying that right. It actually means the valley of giants. 20 years earlier, David had killed Goliath in that valley. And now he's not just facing one Goliath, he's facing a whole valley of Goliaths. Because let me tell you, the closer you get to your destiny, the greater the opposition. You might overcome one challenge, and that's good, but don't be surprised if you face a bigger challenge. That means you're getting closer to your destiny. David asked God, must I go out against the Philistines? And God tells him to go. I'm going to deliver them into your hand. And in verse 20 of 2 Samuel 5, David defeated them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Now, Baal Perazim means the God of the breakthrough. David renamed the valley. Instead of calling it the Valley of the Giants, he renamed it Baal Perazim, which means the God of the breakthrough. He renamed the valley. Let me tell you, when you face situations that look impossible, you need to do like David and rename that valley. This is not a valley of debt, struggle, and lack. I'm renaming it a valley of abundance, the valley of promotion, the valley of increase, the valley of blessing. It's not a valley of sickness and cancer. I'm renaming it the valley of health, wholeness, and victory. This might look like a valley of loneliness, loss, and disappointment, but I'm renaming it the valley of breakthroughs. This is my valley of breakthroughs. It's a valley of victory. It's a valley of blessing. Can you say amen, somebody? If you start renaming your valleys, what was meant to stop you will instead promote you. That's what happened to David. The reason you're facing the opposition is because just like David, you're about to step into a new level of your destiny. Don't complain about the valley. Have this new perspective. There is blessing in this valley. I mean, everything that we went through in losing the building on Center Street. Can I honestly tell you right now, I know it's crazy, but I'm actually glad about it because I actually prefer where we are right now. You got to get your passion back. You've got to get your fire back. You've got to realize the forces that are for you are much greater than the forces that are against you. Let me tell you what to do in a valley as I close today. I'm going to give you seven things real fast you need to do in a valley. Number one, when you're in a valley, draw close to the shepherd and follow him. James 4 verse 8 says, when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Do you know you are as close to the Lord as you want to be? I'll say it again. You are as close to God as you want to be. Because the closer you draw to the Lord, the closer he draws to you, toward you. In John 10 verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Let me tell you, this is not a time to draw away from God when you face a valley. That's a time to draw closer to the Lord. That's a time to follow him. And he will lead you through that valley to the place of blessing. Amen. Number two, when you're in a valley, talk to the shepherd. Talk to the shepherd. Stop talking about God and start talking to him. And don't just complain. Don't just complain. Oh, God. Blah, blah, blah. It's fine to tell God your needs, but then trust him. The Psalms are filled with accounts of David crying out to God in his darkest hours. What did Jesus do in his darkest hour when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was sweating blood because he knew what he was about to face at the cross? What did he do in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he do? Thank you, Abel. Head of the class right there. He prayed. Jesus prayed. He said to the disciples, pray. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Pray that you don't enter temptation. David said this in Psalm 145, verse 18. He said, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. He will also hear their cry and he will save them. Psalm 34, 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. When you're in the valley, draw close to the shepherd, talk to the shepherd, call out before the Lord, trust him, pray. Amen. Number three, when you're in the valley, you need to expect God to work in the valley. Expect God to work blessings, to do miracles in that valley. In Psalm 27, in verse 13, that David said, I am expecting the Lord to rescue me. I'm expecting the Lord to rescue me again. I'm expecting the Lord to rescue me again. So that once again, I will see his goodness to me here in the land of the living. Say, I'm expecting God to rescue me. Say, I'm expecting God to provide for me. I'm expecting God to fight for me. Come on, I'm expecting God to do breakthroughs for me. I'm expecting it. Because let me tell you, your expectation shows your faith. What are you expecting? You need to expect God to make all things work together for your good. You need to expect God to take what was meant for your harm and turn it around for your good. You need to expect God to show up. Amen. Number four, when you're in the valley, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, keep on walking, baby. Keep on walking. Don't set up camp in the valley. Don't build your home in the valley. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, keep on walking by faith, not by sight. Don't settle in the valley. Walk through it in the name of Jesus. Number five, you need to speak faith in the valley. Speak faith in the valley. What did David say in the valley? He said, though I walk through the valley the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil because you are with me. You prepare a feast in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. David said in Psalm 116, verse 10, even when it seems like I'm surrounded by many liars and by my own fears, and even though I'm hurting in my suffering and my trauma, I still stay faithful to God and I speak words of faith. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how dark it seems, doesn't matter how tough it seems, keep on speaking words of faith. Make sure you keep on speaking words of faith. My God supplies all my needs. My God is fighting my battle. My God protects me from the deadly disease. My God is turning what the enemy meant for my harm toward my good. Make sure you keep on speaking faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Number six, praise God in the valley. When Jehoshaphat was attacked by those three armies that came up from the valley. What did he do? He put the singers out in the front of the army and they went in shouting praises to God, and God fought for them and God delivered them. Let me tell you, complaining doesn't please God. Complaining does not get God to move for you. You know what does? Praise. Praise, that gets his attention. Can you say amen? You need to praise him before the victory. You need to praise him in the darkest hour. Like Paul and Silas, they were arrested in Acts chapter 16. They were thrown in the dungeon. And at the midnight hour, the prisoners heard them singing praises unto God. They didn't do it quietly. They didn't do it incognito. They didn't go, oh, we got to sing some praise. Okay, you ready? Quiet now. We don't want to disturb it. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Like some of you all sing in church. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. When no one can hear you. Let me tell you right now, when I sing my praise, God's going to hear it. I'm going to give him a shout. They shouted praises to God, and God shook that jail. All the jail cells flew open. All their chains flew off, and God delivered them when they gave God praise. Man, let me tell you, one of the greatest things you can do when you're in a valley is keep giving God praise. And then number seven, and I got this last night. I was sitting out on the patio. The Lord dropped this. Said, don't forget this. I hadn't got it in my notes. I concluded it. Number seven, keep God's word before your eyes. Keep God's word before your eyes. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Let me tell you, you've got to keep God's word before your eyes. Psalm 119, David said that your word is a lamp to my feet and it is a light to my path. You need to keep the word of God before you. Keep looking at what God says in his word. My last scripture is the scripture I just wrote down. I bought all my grandchildren, I bought them Bibles, New Living Translation Bibles, or we did, and I had their name put on the front of the Bible. And we got seven grandchildren, four in LA, two in Miami, and Brady's right here. So we got them their Bible. Then I issued my grandkids a challenge. I said, now if you'll read one chapter of your Bible every day, I'll give you $1 for every day you read one chapter. So if you read a chapter every day for a week, you get $7, $28 a month. And then I got some bonus. I got some incentives that whenever you finish a book of the Bible, if they finish a book, they get an extra $5. If they do 30 days straight without missing, they get an extra $10. So they can make themselves 50, 60 bucks a month here if they get serious with it. But what so thrilled me is they started reading their Bible. They started reading their Bible. In fact, Jude hasn't missed one day, and Emma's reading, and Jackson. I told them, if you can't read, you've got to get someone to read to you. You still get the dollar if you get someone to read to you. And I wrote this scripture. I'm going to tell you now in everyone. I wrote this scripture because this scripture is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Do you know what is the key to having success in life? The Bible says it is to meditate in God's word, say what God's word says, don't let it depart from your mouth. In other words, speak God's word, read God's word, think about God's word, and do what God's word says. If you do, you will make your way prosperous and you will have success in life. And that's what I encourage my grandchildren to do, is to meditate on the word of God. Let me tell you, if you'll do this, what I'm telling you today, I believe God's going to turn every valley that you face in life to a valley of victory. I declare in the name of Jesus that God is going to turn every valley into a valley of victory, a valley of blessing, a valley of breakthrough, a valley of healing, a valley of abundance. Amen. Do you believe that today? Do you receive it today? Come on, give God some thanks and praise today if you believe this today. Say this, say thank you, Lord. Say it, say thank you, Lord, that even when I walk through the darkest valley, I do not have to be afraid because you are before me. You are behind me. You're always beside me. There's no shadow. There's no place where you can't find me. Say, I thank you, Lord. You turn every valley into a valley of blessing. A valley of breakthrough in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Won't you bow your head for a moment? I want to pray for you. Thank you, Rick. While you got your head bowed, while you got your eyes closed, Father, I thank you for every person here today. Lord, I don't know what they may be facing, but you do. You know each and every person. You know how many hair they have on, how many hairs on their head. You know every detail of their life. And I pray for every person here today, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that you would turn that valley into a valley of blessing. I pray, Lord, that you would lead each person and guide each person and direct their footsteps in the name of Jesus, that you would give them favor, Father. I thank you for bringing restoration, bringing healing, bringing victories, bringing deliverance. Thank you, Lord, that you are not just the God of the mountain. You're the God of the valley. And Lord, we keep our eyes on you. Thank you that you prepare a feast for us, even in the presence of our enemies, Lord. Thank you that we never have to be afraid. We never have to be worried, no matter what. Because as long as you're with us, Lord, there's nothing that is impossible and nothing that is too difficult. You are the way maker. You make a way where there seems to be no way. And we thank you and praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Now listen, while you have your eyes closed and while you have your heads bowed, I want to pray right now for anyone who's here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure where I stand with God today. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well with me and the Lord. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? If you died today, you know that you know that you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you what church you belong to. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. I'm asking you this question. If you died today, can you say you know for sure that heaven is where you would spend all of eternity? Because the good news is you can know that. You can be sure about that. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but right where you're sitting with your head bowed, with your eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Pray for me because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Pastor Steve, I want to make sure that all is right, that all is well between me and God today. If that is you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I ask you right now, just lift your hand up. Just slip your hand up. I'm looking for hands. Just slip your hand up. If your hand is raised, then I know. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see hands being raised right now. God bless you. Even if you're watching this online, I'm talking to you too. I want you to pray this prayer. If you lifted up your hand, I want you to please say this prayer because the scripture says in Romans 10 in verse 9, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The way that you get saved, the way that you make sure and be sure you're going to go to heaven, the way that you're forgiven, the way that you made right with God is by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to the earth, who died on a cross, who rose from the dead, and confessing him to be the Lord of your life. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you get saved. So I want you to say this prayer. Say this with me. Everybody, please. Say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin, my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I do this today. Say, I believe in my heart, Jesus, you are alive. And I ask you, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, save me. I surrender my life to you. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you now live within me. Say this. Say, I thank you, Lord. I'm now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on, give God thanks and praise. Give him thanks and praise. There were a number of people here today that raised their hands, and I want to congratulate you. Those who watched online, God bless you. Best decision you can ever make. I want you to welcome Pastor Joe. How many people ready to give to the Lord today? Anyone here believe in giving? You got some great things to share what God is doing in people's lives. Even during this time, let me tell you, I'm hearing so many testimonies of people who are being blessed. Right in this time, you can be blessed right now. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. God is our source.
I want to encourage you in this fact, you know, because I know that with this whole pandemic going on, people have had unexpected things happen. You know, maybe your hours have been cut. Maybe your work just dried up altogether. You know, so I don't want you to feel like we're not compassionate towards the very real situations that people are facing. Maybe you're wondering how you're going to pay the bills, and it's mentally draining and it's stressful. But I want to encourage you with the Word of God today. That's really what we want to do, is fill you with faith that you can believe God in difficult circumstances. Amen. And so to turn financial famine around, I'm going to give you three quick points. And as I do that, go ahead and prepare yourself to give. There's envelopes on your seats. Those who are watching online, you can go ahead and give. There's various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen. You can text give. You can just have a look. Real easy. And but to turn financial famine, whenever you face difficulty financially, I want you to stand your ground, because you have victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. No matter what it looks like, God can provide for us. That's my encouragement to you today. This is how you begin to do it. Number one, you got to choose your belief system. Because if you don't, you're going to go on autopilot. And autopilot is going to go to whatever everybody else is saying, whatever you're hearing on the news, that's going to be your default if you don't choose your belief system. So when you face something, like Pastor Steve said, when you're in a valley, you got a choice. You have to decide, what do I believe and what am I basing? What belief system am I basing my life on right now? Amen. And so the best belief system you could possibly pick is believing that you have a covenant with Almighty God, because that's what the Bible says. Do you know that God made this covenant really personal when He sealed it with the blood of Jesus? You know, it wasn't just like a contract, I'm just going to sign and this doesn't mean much to me. It took everything, the best that He had. He made it really personal. And He sealed that contract with you, that covenant with you. So that's what I'm choosing to be. That's my belief. I'm in covenant with God, right? And so that covenant, the Bible tells us, provides deliverance from sin, from sickness, from disease, from poverty, and from lack. Now, most people grab onto the salvation. Yeah, I'm going to believe God for to get me to heaven, to forgive my sin, but they leave everything else on the table. But right now, when you say, I'm facing a challenge financially, you say, you know what? I'm going to remember what's in the covenant that I had with God, and I'm going to stand on that just like I believe Him to forgive my sins, right? So we can change our outcome by doing one thing, choosing to believe God's system, I'm not dependent upon my job. Thank God for my job, but I'm not dependent on my job, on the government, on a stimulus check, on a credit card, on an inheritance. Maybe when my auntie dies, she'll leave me. I've got to believe that God is the one who can provide, no matter what is going on around me in the world. Amen. So first of all, just three quick things. Sorry, that wasn't that quick. First one, choose your belief system. Believe you're in covenant with God. Second of all, own your end of the bargain. You know, a covenant is a contract between two parties. And God's done His part, and so we do our part. What is it that we need to do? First of all, we got to love the Lord with all our heart, with all we have. He's first. He's above everything else. We've got to love other people. We've got to forgive, not gossip. Don't criticize. Love people, like Pastor Steve said. That's the sign that we are His children, right? And then honor God with our finances. When we tithe, the Bible says we are putting God first. We are saying you are first. So that's our end of the bargain. God has made a covenant, but we own ours. And we make a sincere effort to obey His commands. We all fail. We all fall short. But we make an effort to do it, right? So first, believe you have a covenant with God. Second of all, own your part, do your part, give, tithe. And thirdly, lastly, raise your vision. You know, you've got to raise your vision. Have you ever heard someone say, well, you know, how much is enough? You know, in my opinion, you should only want to have enough to be comfortable and not expect abundance. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? Can I tell you, that is selfish thinking. You think I'm being humble when I say that. But let me tell you something. If you're just wanting to have enough for yourself and you don't care about anybody else, that's selfish. If you want to help people, you better have more than enough to meet your needs. So raise your vision and believe God to give you an abundance. You know, Mike Francine, who's a friend of ours and who's, we talk about the crusades he's done and the hundreds and thousands of people that have gotten saved. You know what? We would give anything, 13 million, but we would give anything to pay for a crusade. We would give anything to see, and we're going to do it. We talk about it all week long. We're going to do it. But what does it take? It takes money. So raise your vision and believe God. Say, God, I'll be faithful. I'm a channel. I'm not just wanting to consume it on myself. I'm wanting to be a channel of blessing. Amen. Praise God. This will get you through famine. So let's go ahead and give. Let's pray right now. Thanks, ushers, for getting ready with that. Father, I thank you for every person watching, every person in this building. I thank you for every tither, every giver.
Yes.
We do this as unto you, Father. We sow. We know every blessing
yes.
that is on our house, in our family, that
yes.
comes into our hands, comes from you. And
yes.
we thank you for it. And we honor you with the first
yes.
tenth. We are generous. Thank you, Father, for putting, we ask you to put money in our hands that we can be a channel of blessing, that people can go to heaven and not to hell because of the finance that flows
yes.
through our hands. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to say thank you to everyone for your faithful giving. I want to say thank you to everyone who's given online. Praise God. Thank you for being so faithful, for giving online. I want to just tell you that, do you know that April was our best month financially the whole year? That's worth some applause, I would say, don't you think? Praise God, you know. I know people going through things and so, sometimes you don't want to share your blessings. You don't want to make other people feel bad. But I can just tell you, we're doing great. I know not everyone's, a lot of people watching at home, they're not necessarily here. But thank you for being faithful and giving. And we want you to know we miss you. We can't wait to see you again. We've got more people here today than we had last Sunday. I hope we'll have more people next week than we have today. We can't wait to see you. Happy Mother's Day. We love you. Come on, stand with us. He's the God of the mountain, man.
No, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
To show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all. You still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. No, there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. 'Cause there's nothing